I think every one of us would acknowledge that there are certain traits that almost distinguish a culture. As we think about people from the Oriental world, and especially those that have come over to this country, we find very studious individuals who really seem to excel in some of the sciences and other areas of learning, and almost put the American culture to shame by the lack of intensity that we might produce in those endeavors. I think of the Hispanic culture, and especially as we're very familiar with it here, and I find a people that are very hardworking, industrious, and many of which will do manual tasks that you and I won't do and can accomplish a lot through it. When I think of our American culture, I'm convinced that the trait that distinguishes us is that we want to keep up with the Joneses, that we want more and more and more. And we're convinced that the more we have, the more important we are, or the better that we are than other people. And God has a lot to say about that concept, where I am clamoring after things. And I begin to think that my worth, my value, is in some way associated with what I do or what I have. Because from the biblical standpoint, nothing could be farther from the truth. And I can have all of the blessings and benefits in the temporal world and still have absolutely nothing. And ultimately, God says, in trying to keep up with the Joneses, about all you're going to ever do is ruin a football team. What does God have to say about what we pursue in this world? I'd like you to turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and in verses 4 through 6. Just a short little paragraph. And Solomon says, I have seen that every labor and every skill which is done is the result of rivalry or competition between a man and his neighbor. This too is vanity and striving after wind. The fool folds his hands and consumes his own flesh. One hand full, and a better translation, I don't know what yours has, would be the word with instead of. One hand full with rest is better than two-fifths full with labor and striving after the wind. Now, we've emphasized before, the book of Ecclesiastes is one of the wisdom books of the Bible to provide us with a skill in how we approach life in order to live it successfully. And in this case, Solomon is dealing with that most profound and fundamental question for every human being. Where do I find meaning? Where do I find purpose? Where will I find satisfaction and fulfillment in life? And in the introduction to this persuasive speech of Solomon, he sets forth his premise, and he basically says that everything in this temporal world is going to leave you empty. It won't have lasting fulfillment. And in the section we are now in, he is developing that theme to basically say there is something far better for you to live for and to pursue than trying to have all of the temporal blessings that anyone could ever accumulate in this world. Now, in the immediate context in which we find ourselves, Solomon is dealing with the real problems that we wrestle with in life. He says, well, I understand that God has a time and a purpose for every event that happens in this world. And yet you and I look around and the first issue that he says is we see injustices that take place in this world. And we find where man, instead of dealing uprightly with his fellow man, seeks to take advantage of him and does not provide him with the fair result of what he or she deserves. And so he's dealt with this problem of injustice. The second issue that he deals with is oppression. And where one individual or one people group wants to be the bully over the other. And he says it is such a horrific problem that it really would be better for an individual never to experience the evil that is taking place in this world. And the other issue that he deals with is the fact that individuals are always fighting, striving, trying to get ahead of one another, and live in this deluded idea that if I can do something better than, that makes me better than you. If I have something more than that is something that makes me better than you. And so he says, I have looked at every labor and every skill that is done under the heavens, and what is the motivation that is behind it? All we need to do is start by looking in the sport world. Why do individuals put in grueling hours of practice? Not just that when they get out on the court or on the field in which they play, that they might be able to do a good job, but they want to be the best at that ability. And it isn't any different when we get into the professional world. We think of the corporate world, and it is known as the corporate jungle. We have ads that are being given to us, and it says when it comes to being in the workplace, there's a war that is going on out there. And you and I need to take advantage of all the tactics we can to outdo our competitors. You and I live in a world that is filled with this idea of rivalry, this idea of competition with one another. And we have the idea that if we succeed, if we do better, somehow that qualifies us. That makes us better than the other individual. I remember working for a health corporation, and one of the slogans of that corporation was, if you aren't the lead dog, the view never changes. Now think on that for a moment. See, if you're on the dog sled team and you're in the second group or the third group, you always get to look at the rear end of the dog in front of you. And so if you are not the lead dog, your view will never change. So what do I need to do? I need to strive to be the lead dog. A number of years ago, a man by the name of Irving Berlin wrote a Broadway musical. It was actually before my time, but I did remember one of the songs from it that ties into what we're talking about today. And that has still some fame in Broadway. It's called Annie, Get Your Gun. And it was initially done in 1946. And in that, it was a reflection upon the shooting competition that took place between Annie Oakley and Frank Butler. And the song has different verses in it, and I've taken a few of them out, because it really encapsulates this idea of the rivalry or the competition that we have against one another, and somehow the deluded idea that if I can do something better than you, that makes me better than you. I'm superior. I'm not going to sing it for you, by the way. I'll just read it. I'm superior. You're inferior. I'm the big attraction. You're the small. I'm the major one. You're the minor one. I can beat you shooting, and that's not at all. Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you. And here's the duet now. No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
Anything you can do, I can do better than you. Anything you can be, I can be better. Sooner or later, I'm greater than you. No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Anything you can buy, I can buy cheaper. I can buy anything cheaper than you. 50 cents, 40 cents, 30 cents, 20 cents. I can buy anything cheaper than you. Hope you begin to see some of the triteness, and then I hope you see the mirror. Because we all find ways we want to show our betterness in some form of competition that we make with other people. Anyone you can lick, I can lick faster. I can lick anyone faster than you. With your fists?
With my feet.
With your feet?
With my fingers.
I can lick anyone faster than you. Any school you went, I could be the master. I could be the master faster than you. Can you spell?
No, I can't.
Can you add?
No, I can't.
Can you teach?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can do, I can do better. Now, enough of that. That's what Solomon's saying here, isn't he? And what an insight into human nature. There is that competitive, jealous, envious disposition of heart. Because we believe if we have an ability to do something better than someone else, what is our conclusion? We are therefore better than that other individual. And so Solomon says, I have seen that every labor, that is every work-related task, he's not talking about sinful activities. He is looking at the good industrial activities of human beings. Every labor that is being performed, every skill that someone has. Why is it you want to be this great musician, this good athlete, the best attorney, the best physician? Well, it all boils down to ego. Because anything you can do, I can do better. And when it comes to wanting to keep up with the Joneses, the other motivation that is there is that jealousy, that envy that we have. And this Hebrew word that is translated in my English Bible as rivalry means I have looked at the interaction of one human being with another, and I have looked at how they apply themselves to their task, be it their hobby or their occupation, and there is this intense competition, there is this jealousy, there is this mindset where one envies what another has, and I need to have something better than what they have. It's anything you can do, I can do better. And that's what sets me apart and makes me better than you. And what does Solomon say of it? This too is vanity and is striving after the wind. In other words, he is developing this theme that if you think that by living in such a way that you are improving your ability to do things so it sets you apart from the masses and people look at you and say, oh, I want to be like Mike. You can shoot the basketball better than someone else. You hold the record on the NFL's rushing yardage. You're thought of as the greatest quarterback to ever live. You're looked upon as the supreme physician that has ever developed his medical talents in this world. What is the end result? Emptiness. Vanity. It means absolutely nothing. And with it, it produces great frustration. It is striving after the wind. And so what Solomon is telling us is that this challenge to be the best, this idea of rivalry, which has to do with competition and jealousy and envy, is a futile endeavor. Man's attempt to excel in wanting to be the best at whatever is done, if that is your goal, if that is your motivation, if that is your objective, you are going to be left empty and frustrated in life. is what's the problem? These efforts come from a desire for self-exaltation. The bottom line is called pride. One of the commentaries I read, the author very astutely said, all the things that men admire in human achievements are in reality a display of human selfishness. I'm trying to promote myself. Now, if that's the case, then how is it we should live our lives? What is the wise way for you and I to conduct ourselves? And to answer that, Solomon uses two proverbial concepts. In verse 5, he says, the fool folds his hands and consumes his own flesh. Well, when we look at the idea of the fool is one who doesn't really understand reality. That's why it says, for example, in Psalm 14, the fool says there is no God. And so it's looking at the idea of the individual who is living in this world, but really can't put life together. He doesn't have the worldview that relates to the way things really are. He's an individual, and he's talking about folding his hands. He's not talking about the fact that he's resting, but rather that he is a sluggard. He is lazy. Instead of having this motivation and this drive, which is manifested in this competitive nature that people have one against the other, he is an individual who is lazy and therefore suffers the consequences of it. Looking again at another statement made by Solomon, let me just read to you what he says in the book of Proverbs about such an individual. In Proverbs 6, Solomon says, a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of your hands to rest, and your poverty will come in like a beggar, and your need like an armed bandit. In other words, you'll be destroyed. And so the solution to this arrogance in the human heart that motivates the individual to want to best the people around him in all areas, because somehow it gives this false sense that I therefore am better than you, is not just to become a lazy individual that never applies himself. Because the fool folds his hands, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of one's hands to rest, and your poverty will come upon you. You destroy yourself. So he says, a hand full with peace is better than two fists with labor and striving after the wind. The idea is that the individual recognizes, while I am ignoring, I can't ignore this desire to excel and achieve, because I know that it will bring destruction upon me, what is the approach that I must take? And the idea that he brings forth is, the first, that both the individual with a handful and the individual with two hands full is contrasted with the fool. You see that? And the contrast is there because the fool is the one who in his complacency has a slow, comfortable path to self-destruction. So that's not the solution. And so the one with one hand full or two hands full is contrasted with the fool. But one, he says, is better than the other. And what he is pointing out is that the man with one hand full is better than the individual with two hands or fists, almost giving us the impression that I'm not content, I must move on, I need to grasp for more, with two fists full, and with it to have labor and striving after the wind. And so the difference between the two individuals is not that the two individuals are such that one is engaged in activity and the other is not. They are both engaged in activity, but the misconception would be, if I have two fists full, I'm better than just having one hand full. Living for having more. And what Solomon says to us in wisdom is, you may not have as much, but if you have peace, quietness, biblically, contentment, it is far better than trying to keep up with the Joneses and having more, two fists full. But your life is characterized by continued labor, constant vexation, even at night, thinking about how can I get the advantage over the competition? How can I get ahead? How can I climb the corporate ladder? How can I be the top dog? How can I be the lead dog so I'm not looking at the same view all of the time? Two fists full with labor and with strife, with striving after the wind. Getting more doesn't make you happy. Getting more will not provide you with fulfillment. So what Solomon is indicating is that what is most important is I earnestly expend my energy to be the best that I can be, not in comparison to someone else, but while I do so, to be content with the station that God has given me in life. I look at Paul, and if he was analyzed by the psychologists of today, they would say the Apostle Paul was a typical A-type personality. What did Paul say about himself? He said, previously, I was excelling in Judaism above my contemporaries. And it could very well be that Paul was on the way in Judaism to be the president of the synagogue. It could be that the Apostle Paul was one who would be in line for the positions of authority in the Jewish nation. And how was Paul after he was a Christian? Are they apostles of Christ? Aye, far more. Paul never lost his driving zeal. And the answer for us as Christians is not to say, because this idea of trying to get ahead is rooted in pride, therefore it's something we shouldn't be engaged in as Christian people, is absolutely false. What I need to do is all that I am and the gifts that I have been given to me by God. He has placed the opportunities before me, and the real question is now, what am I going to do with it? And when Paul looked at you and I engaged in the activities of life, he said, you have a motivation that is far superior to what motivates the natural man. You know what motivates you as a Christian? It is a labor of love for Jesus Christ. And that's why as a Christian individual, as you apply yourself to your tasks at school, as you apply yourself to your athletic things, as you apply yourself to your musical or artistic ability, as you give yourself to your job, as you're engaged in your relationships in your home, It is all being done as an offering to Christ. And therefore, that is a motivation that causes me to want to excel even far greater than if all I'm doing it is to get a grade in school, if all I'm doing it is to get a promotion at work, if all I'm doing it for is so that people will be impressed with me. I'm doing it as a service to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what needs to accompany that expenditure of effort? Contentment. Because where does promotion come from? Not from east or from west, but from the Lord. What causes me to have the impact that I have? All I have to do is read what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God is the one who determines the consequences of each given ministry. It isn't because somebody is better at doing something than someone else. And as Christian individuals, our desire should be the desire to be the best servant of Jesus Christ and ministering to others and using the gifts that God has given me, but content with what He has designed for me in my daily portion. Because if I am motivated, then I just have to get more. If I have to keep up with the Joneses, I got to keep grabbing with both hands. I am going to find that it's a vexing, toilsome labor, and it will constantly be a frustration to me because all I'm doing is striving after the wind. Leupold, in his commentary on Ecclesiastes, said, "I would rather have my ease, though I possess but little, than acquire more and have all the vexation that goes along with it." And I know in this group right here, every one of us know the struggles that are there in the workplace, where you have all the demands, you got to make the ends meet, you're always trying to get ahead, trying to be sure that your business practice is in the right light of how people perceive it and therefore it's desirable for them. And you can find the different ways where you try to manipulate things so that it's beneficial for you. You need to be a good business person. If you work in a corporation, you need to be a great employee. But you need to be content with where God's put you. And do your job in a way that it brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ. And so the motivation for the Christian is not to try to keep up with the Joneses. That's a false standard, an inappropriate standard. What my desire is, what my desire must be, that I want to be and I want to do that which really brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ and give it my best effort so that God is honored in my life and to be contentment with what God provides. For that's much, much better than either being lazy and destroying myself or having a life full of stress and struggle to try to get ahead in this world. May God grant us the wisdom, that skill, to realize that fulfillment, meaning, and satisfaction will never be found in the things of this life, but are only found in that relationship with Him. Let's pray.